At the Escondido United Reformed Church, we are committed to making known the glories of the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do invite you to join us on Sundays for worship. Our worship service times are 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. You are welcome to visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. The address for worship is 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught.
Declaring the salvation of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Death is a terrible enemy that even the Christian struggles with today. We live in a society today that has sanitized death, and we don't anymore know how to think through it. What is the approach when we come to death? Are the services, should they just be a funeral, a celebration of life, a party? How does the Christian deal with the problem of death? We are tackling this on Abounding Grace Radio today and looking at it from a biblical perspective, studying the book of Genesis and looking at the death of Sarah and how this great patriarch, how Abraham dealt with the death of his own wife. We're thankful you've tuned in to Abounding Grace Radio today. As always, we do direct you to visit our website at agradio.org. I would love to hear from you. You're welcome to write to us, send us a note of encouragement, tell us how these programs are a blessing to you, and of course, all of your support will go to the cost of the program. So thank you in advance for all of your prayerful and your financial support. A few years back, I visited, back in South Dakota, I had to do a funeral for a relative. And we went to one of the old cemeteries back there in South Dakota, and way in the back, an entire section was marked out for the Gordon family. It was really a remarkable thing to see. All of these Gordons were buried together. And it, really, this is probably true of your own families. If you walk through any old cemetery, you will see this. You'll see entire sections marked off by family name. Have you ever wondered why? And why that practice is lost today? Did you ever think about why there was a conviction about these things? What did it say? Many of these people years ago were devout followers of Jesus Christ, and they wanted to be buried together. I want to explore what that means. I want to look at death from a biblical perspective today, because death is a horrible reality. It's never something we're prepared for, and it raises painful feelings of guilt, of emptiness, and grief. Let's be honest. We really have struggled to know how to deal with this enemy. It's an enemy like no other. And we all have this present reality looming over us that we or any one of our loved ones sitting next to us could be taken in a moment by the enemy of death. And the pain of it, when it happens, can seem unbearable. I raise all of this because before us today in our text, in the Bible, we have the reality of death. Doesn't sugarcoat it. We have been studying the life of Abraham for some time, and as he now approaches the end of his life, before us today, Sarah, his own wife, dies. It's a passage that would be easy to overlook, but here is this great saint, this patriarch, whom we have an entire chapter telling us how this great man dealt with the death of his own wife. This man had to go on 38 years from this point without her, a grief. And she has been beside him the whole way. They've been through so much together, and now she's gone. And today's passage is providing a whole scene of how the believer in this life is to live by faith even when death comes. The Lord wants us instructed in these things, to see that he is still faithful in these moments, and he wants us to understand how we are to go forward. He desires for us to see where there is hope in the midst of this kind of groaning, in the midst of this kind of weeping and mourning. And maybe some of you are facing it right now who are listening. You didn't turn on in the dial and hit this station and this message by chance. today is immensely encouraging as we go back and look at the father of the faith, the father of the Christian faith. And we see a saint no different than us, experiencing the same pain of losing his companion to the enemy of death, and then seeing where he turns to go forward. Let's learn from our Lord today what he is telling us about the painful reality of death. In verse 1 of chapter 23 of Genesis, we read that Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. I think this is a really moving scene. It's important to think about Sarah for a moment. She had her moments in Genesis, that's for sure. But the Bible very much commends this woman as an example of faith to all women. Roman Catholics, really, if they're going to choose a woman to honor, they've really got the wrong one. The Bible gives way more attention to Sarah than to Mary. She's the mother of our faith. Listen to the attention given in Scripture. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and Sarah, who bore you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Sarah really does become the model of godliness for all women. 1 Peter 3 says the same thing. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. And then he goes on, do not let your adornment be merely outward, the arranging of hair, the wearing of gold, the putting on of fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. And here it is. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good, and not afraid with any terror. This is a Proverbs 31 woman. She's the only woman of Hebrews 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She's pictured in the Scriptures as a woman who stood by Abraham through it all. Sarah is held out as one of the most commendable godly women in the Bible. And I find it moving that the Lord gives us an entire chapter on her death and burial. This was no small moment in the life of Abraham. Now Sarah died. What tragic words. I think it's important here to get into Abraham's mind for a moment. They had over 100 years together. Have you ever seen these couples, dear listener, that have had anniversaries of over 60 years? It's becoming so infrequent and rare because of all-time high divorce rates. But every now and then, you'll get a glimmer of this. You'll see couples that have been married for over 60 years, and they love each other. I've come across a few now. In some of these couples, the love that I've seen in them demonstrates, you know, one of the greatest witnesses that can be given. It is a privilege to picture the love that Christ has for his church. And speaking to the men here today on Abounding Grace, God brings us wives. The Scriptures say, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. We become one flesh when we're married. God unites us, not to be separated. God gives us grace in companionship. And he tells us that in the relationships we're in, we get the great opportunity to reflect the gospel, Jesus' love for his bride. You ever think of the great blessing it is that God did not want us to be alone? And we have wives to share our burdens. They encourage us when we are down. They care about caring for us, making homes that are beautiful and pleasant. And not just that, they bear children. They nurture our children and love them. They are treasures from the Lord, our wives. I saw a series of pictures last week on the internet of this old couple. And every year, they were pictured together in their backyard in the same spot, year after year after year. And you'd see the changes each year. And at the very end of this long string of pictures, the final picture is the man standing alone. And I thought to myself, what a terrible image. Painful it was to see this. This is Abraham now. And what I want to highlight is the fact that the text shows us that Abraham goes through a period of intense sorrow. Twice it says he came to mourn for her. And then he wept for her. Sarah dies, Abraham mourns and weeps. Oh, the pain of his companion that God had made for him, a helper suitable for him, is taken in death. Death is awful enough because it was never really meant to be like this. Abraham weeps, he mourns. The reality before him was that something was not right. God had made his creation good. Death is a tragedy. Death is not natural. That is not how God had ever created from the beginning. This was a result of sin. And here before you, Abraham is feeling and experiencing all of the painful emotions of this. Grief is a terrible thing that we have to experience. The pain of what we have just lost, and now we realize that we didn't appreciate the one that was taken as much as we should have. I had a friend one time lose his wife to cancer, and she was a wonderful, godly woman. And he said to me, he said, hold on to your wife tight. Don't take her for granted, because I'm realizing so much of what I did take for granted now after the fact. Death brings mourning. Death brings different responses. It's an awful reality of life. People go through all sorts of different emotions and responses to death. I can only imagine what Abraham felt. They had been through so much together. Twice he had lied and said that she was his sister and was taken, and he had acted so irresponsibly to save his own skin. God had to intervene and save his princess to deliver her. The grief of thinking that he gave his love to another woman at one point along the way. And then there were all the joys, the laughter that they shared together. She stood by him in his dwelling in tents. All of these emotions, all of these things come up at death. Notice Abraham weeps. He mourns. But the question is for us is, what are we taught here about death? What does Abraham do with regard to death? Let me begin with by saying, mourning is a proper response to death. It was Jesus himself who wept. In fact, it's fascinating how verse 3 of Genesis chapter 23 reads, and Abraham rose up from before his dead. It's such an important verse. He had been in mourning. He was meditating deeply upon this reality. He had been sitting before her body, sitting and then standing before his dead. Isn't that an interesting statement? The Lord wants us to consider this. What would be the real tendency over time? Not only would people begin to overcome, try to overcome death, but culture after culture has done everything possible to sanitize it, to treat it as something normal, a normal process of life. Today, you know, we don't even have contact with death much. Think about the situation. Think of what's happened in our society. Years ago, we had the funeral. And in the funeral, you had an open casket. I remember as a child, the impact of seeing my grandfather in the casket. I'll never forget it. I remember I was told to grab his hand. It was cold. That left an impression on me as a child I'll never forget. I did the funeral of a pastor years ago, and they had the classic funeral. The casket was open. You should have seen the young people walk by and mourn as they looked at him. Today, people would say, oh, that's morbid. That's just a shell. We're really Gnostics, aren't we? Thinking the body is evil and the spirit is all that matters. No, that's not just a shell. It's the person. And I'm saying there's something incredibly healthy about looking at death in the right perspective. Have you ever noticed what's happened in our culture to death, dear listener? We've gone from the funeral. We got rid of the funeral. We closed the casket. It was just too offensive for us. Then we went to the memorial service. And then we went to the celebration of life. That's what society has pushed on us. That's what you'll get today when you head down to the local mortuary. And in these celebrations of life, all we get is a glorification of the past. How great the person was And then we all get up, we sing some nice songs, we have a great feast, and we go on with life as if nothing bad ever happened. What are the consequences of this? I'm not asking anyone to be morbid today, but I am asking you to think through why we've closed the casket and what may be the consequences to that. We've lost all contact with the reality of death. And instead, we are desensitized to it through the movies. The reality is that we have sanitized society of the real thing. There was an article recently on this called "The Tragic Death of the Funeral." The article, the author says, "Welcome to a world in which the womb becomes a casket," talking about abortion, "and funerals become fun." Isn't that a twisted, backwards thing? Welcome to a world which the womb becomes a casket and funerals become fun. He calls the celebration of life a formalization of death disguise. Funerals, at least in traditional Christianity, took death seriously. They balanced the truth of grief and loss with the hope of life and resurrection. The celebration of life looks neither to the present grief nor to the future hope, but solely to the past. Therein lies a great tragedy, for a celebration of life is a missed opportunity to understand death correctly. When a funeral degenerates into a celebration of life, this is this author, he does a wonderful job in this article. But when a funeral degenerates into a celebration of life, mourners may find, he says, temporary relief in the nostalgia of the memories, but they will be depraved of true and lasting healing that comes only after confronting death and finding life in another. Cemeteries today are not called that. They're called monuments, forest green, monumenta, so on. We're told that the dead aren't there. They're just capsules. We're told that the spirit is all that matters. Death doesn't fit the world of denial we've created. And so now it's improper even to say that so-and-so has died. They've just kind of passed into glory. They've translated. Now, I raise all of this saying, how does Abraham respond to death? He weeps and he mourns and he sits before his dead. But now he goes forward in the right way, demonstrating faith. How so? All of a sudden, the text says that he rises. And I want you to think of the structure of this. This comes right on the heels of what? The Isaac incident. Think of what Abraham learned in the whole event. God said, sacrifice your son, your only son. What happened? The Lord didn't put him through that. Instead, a ram was offered as a substitute to proclaim to Abraham the day of Jesus. That death is overcome. That death is defeated in Jesus. And what does Hebrews tell us that Abraham concluded in his mind? That since the promise was life, since the promise is that his seed would inherit the land forever through Isaac, that he would live forever in the land, even if he went through killing his own son, God would raise him up. So what is the conclusion if God is going to provide the Lamb of Atonement? Resurrection is the answer, isn't it? That kind of reflection over the death of Sarah happens, and you see it in Abraham's actions. Think of the New Test. Abraham weeps. He begins to weep in hope. How so? He thinks, if death was overcome by the angel of the Lord, then this death is not the end. Sarah's death is not the end. If God has promised us the land to live in it forever, we're going to live here forever. That means this story is not over. That means Abraham began to conclude in his mind, death is absolutely no obstacle to entering the land. Isn't this beautiful? Death is no obstacle. So what is his conclusion? It's the conclusion that Christians have stated over and over again. If Christ died for us, why do we still have to die? And the answer is that death is not a punishment for our sins, but it puts an end to our sinning and is an entrance into eternal life. It moves us toward what is to come. So I want you to notice how Abraham acts here. What does he do? He gets up. I've seen in the ministry people who never get up. But Paul said, I don't want you to sorrow as those who have no hope. What drives you forward is the resurrection. And I want you to see this. It's important today because tomorrow this could be us. So what happens here? What did death do? It launched Abraham into looking for another country. He now acts upon the promise. The structure's fascinating. We have only two verses on the mourning, and the entire rest of the chapter is on Abraham purchasing a burial place. He has a dilemma. The land is his, but it's not been realized yet. It's not been granted yet. He has to wait for it. But he's not about to let his princess be buried in some Canaanite tomb and forgotten and alone. So what happens? After mourning, he gets up and he goes to the Hittites and he asks for a burial place for his dead. I am a sojourner and a foreigner among you. Give me property among you for a burying place that I may bury my dead out of my sight. The sons of Heth recognize that Abraham is a great man among them, a prince. They offer him the choicest of burial places. Abraham won't have it. He doesn't want alone. He doesn't want to just put her in a tomb. So Abraham knows that he wants this cave of Machpelah, which is owned by a man named Ephron, the son of Zophar. So what happens at this point is a great legal transaction takes place. Three times, Ephron offers to give it to Abraham. Abraham still won't have it. Abraham wants a legal transaction with witnesses so that in paying the full price of this plot of land, of this cave, it would be deeded to him. It would be his by right. And so Ephron charges Abraham 400 shekels of silver and Abraham pays. He got even more with the deal. The field of Ephron in Machpelah, which was east of Mamre, the field with the cave that was in it and all the trees that were in the field, through its whole area was made over to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the Hittites before all who went into the gate of his city. After this, Abraham buried his wife in the cave of Machpelah, east of Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. The field and the cave that were in it were made over to Abraham as property for a burying place by the Hittites. What does all this mean today? Hebrews tells us. Hebrews 11 tells us this. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged they were strangers and exiles on the earth, for people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. Death made Abraham that day seek that which is to come. And he was making a public claim on God's promise that the land was his. That this gift God had given him goes well beyond his and his wife's death, beyond the lifetime of Abraham. Abraham and Sarah one day would enjoy it in full in the resurrection. Abraham was saying to all generations to come, I believe the Lord is going to fulfill his promise and give me a homeland. And not just me, but all who share my faith. And we don't realize how important this was for Israel. Sarah was buried there, but we read in Genesis 25 that Isaac would be buried there. Jacob's sons took his body and buried him there. Listen to the last words of Genesis. And Joseph said to his brothers, I'm about to die, but God will visit you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely visit you and you shall carry my bones from here. So Joseph died being 110 years old. They embalmed him. He was put in a coffin in Egypt. It was brought back, that body, Joseph's body, and buried in the land. And you see what all of this tells us today is that all of these pilgrims lived by faith in the promises. That when Isaac and Jacob and Joseph would die, they were buried as a family together, waiting in faith for the resurrection. That's what I love about this. That's the beauty of this. Soon, we are going to enter a city that is permanent, dear listener, if you're a believer. One that God himself has constructed. And the Lord wants you to know he's not the God of the dead, but of the living. It was Jesus who said in the face of death, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he dies, he shall live. Do you believe that? Jesus is risen. And how beautiful this is. You know, this is a beautiful section to remind us of what is to come. A small cave sits in the land over there today with Abraham and his family. One day that family will rise to glory and receive all the land in its fullness. Dear listener, do you share in that faith? It's all yours, this earth. The meek shall inherit the earth, said Jesus. It's all yours if you believe in Jesus. That's what Abraham learned that day. That's what he saw by faith. This promise is what he acted upon, claimed and lived by. When death strikes, remember this, mourn, but don't mourn as though you have no hope. Get up and press forward to what is ahead of you, what is to come, laying hold of that for which Christ Jesus has already laid hold of for you. Grateful you've tuned into Abounding Grace Radio today. As always, we direct you to our website at agradio.org. Many resources there for you. We hope this was a blessing to you to think through the issues of death. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. May the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you. We hope you enjoyed the program today on Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, the preaching pastor here at the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you would like to hear more of these teachings each and every Sunday, you can join us for worship 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. Our address is 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. www.escondidourc.org is the website. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.